I'd like to say hi to the listening audience. Pierre?
Yes, hello, good evening. I'm very pleased to be here.
How about, let's see. A little closer to the mic. There we go. There we go.
Oh, that's better. Uh-huh. Yes, I can hear it now.
Thank you, Leslie. All right.
Do I have to start again?
No, that's fine. Well, so you're on tour of the area, and why don't you tell us where you're going to be playing?
And we're starting the tour tomorrow in, Saturday, actually, in Los Angeles, and going Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, and Canada, and back to the, down to the East Coast. Going to be playing here on the 20th, what is it? I don't really know.
Yes, September 20th, Alexander Hall.
Right.
So it's a nationwide tour, just of the United States or
And Canada.
Else?
And a few dates in Canada between the West Coast and the East Coast.
Uh-huh. I know you ran down this before, but for the audience, who's playing? Because we know that Pierre Morlensgang always has a lot of shifting personnel. It'd be interesting to know who's playing on this tour.
Hansford Rowe is on bass, Bon Lozaga is on guitar and keyboards, because we're all playing different instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Francois Cosse is playing drums and vibraphone, and I play drums, vibraphone, and keyboards, too.
And keyboards.
Yes.
You're adding that sort of permanently to your lineup, keyboards, synthesizers, or...
That's right. We're four of us playing keyboards at a different time in the set.
Oh, wow. So very versatile there. No possibility for any special guest appearances or anything like that?
That's a...
State secret?
Maybe in New York. Maybe.
Maybe in New York. Okay. Why don't we move on right now to this live album that you just brought us. How do you feel about this album?
I'm very pleased with this album. I think it's got much more energy than the studio album. Because it's live, obviously. It's got something else, which is not on a studio album.
Uh-huh. That's sort of the impression that I got. I was really amazed not only at the energy level of the album, but also of the tightness of the group. How well you play together is really phenomenal. It's not the least bit sloppy or anything like that. It sounds almost as if you took away the applause and the ambient noise that it could be a studio LP. It's really remarkable. And musicianship of Gong is always something that has been admired by me, at least. And I'd like to mention also we have Jordan Becker in the studio right here.
Good evening.
He hopefully will be adding some incisive commentary to this. Well, let's get to something from the live album right now. We'll be back with Pierre after we hear a couple tracks from this, the new live album by Pierre Morlensgang called Pierre Morlensgang Live, strangely enough. And let's get to that right now on Stereo 103. And Pierre is here with us, right here in the studio. And why don't we discuss some of the past of Pierre Morlensgang and some of its permutations. How exactly did it change from a psychedelic rock band, if I may use that term, to what it is now?
It was quite a slow process. It started after the album Angel's Egg and You. Then Steve Hillage left to do this solo album because he felt the band's direction wasn't really his and he wanted to do. And also he had different philosophical ideas. He wanted to do his own music. And at that point we started to record Shamal, the album Shamal, and then started to drift off from that psychedelic music and lyrics, especially, to a more, could call it jazz rock music. And,
So Shamal was the transitional LP?
Well, the transition took really, you can call it the transition.
In terms of recorded output.
Uh-huh. Right, sure.
Maybe you could just talk about some of the people who played with you on those albums and on stage.
During the Shamal period.
Shamal Espresso period.
Yes. The Shamal period I have good memories of. We had Didier was playing sax and...
He's an original member, is that right?
Yes, right.
Were you an original member?
No, I joined at the same time with Steve Hillage, the same month. That was January 1973. before the recording of Angel's Egg, the album Angel's Egg. And Mike Odette, we did the same time. We all three of us joined at the same time, same months. Oh, near enough. And Patrice Lemoine was playing piano, organ, and he joined later on. He joined, I think that was 75, this album, wasn't it? I can't remember.
75,
right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, basically, Gong has always been a changing group, the lineup. People kept working in and out. It's only recently, for the past 3 years, we've been like a constant, same lineup.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite tracks is Chandra, and that's where we took the promo for this whole business tonight.
Yes.
Just happens to be a favorite of mine. We were talking before, just briefly, about Alan Holdsworth. What was his involvement in the group?
Well, I've heard Tony Williams' album, which I really liked and still like, and I was very impressed with his playing, and I called him up and said, would you like to join? Because somebody told me he didn't have anything to do then, and he said, okay, and he came along, and we...
Just like that.
Yeah, right, just like that. But the band split up, unfortunately, 5 months later.
Did it look like an irreparable split? Or?
Oh, yeah, really, really, yeah, severe.
That was after what album? The Expresso album?
No, that was Gazoo's.
Expresso before. In America.
Okay,
that's right, yeah. It's
known in this country as Expresso. I've been here.
Yeah, it was the flying coffee machine.
Right.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. Expresso, that's right.
This is the... I believe this is the only Gong album with vocals, correct?
No, it's not. Downwind's got vocals.
Downwind has vocals?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right. It's quite all right.
You seem to have abandoned
him since then. Yeah. I've given up since then.
Is that lack of a vocalist or lack of desire for vocals?
Well, I just didn't think it was good enough. I had to try. I felt like doing it then, and was good then, but...
We're on WPRB Princeton. Just a reminder that you're listening to an interview with Pierre Morlin of Pierre Morlin's Gong, who will be appearing at Alexander Hall September 20th, and tickets are available. We'll give you more information on that later. Let's switch even further into the past. It's almost silly not to go on the assumption that you're a formally trained musician. That's true?
Yeah, I was classically trained. My parents are both classical musicians, teacher. And,
did they teach you?
Well, my father taught me to play the piano for a few years, and he tried very hard. I still learned very basic and very useful things from him, I must say now, with the time. And then I went to a classical percussion school in Strasbourg for 4 years.
So you learned all the different instruments and not just concentrating on one and then sort of picking up on the others by yourself?
Well, to start with, I just wanted to play drums. When I was about 13, I had a flash on drum kits. I really wanted to be a drummer very badly.
I know the feeling.
And I was so bad at school, then my father decided to let me go. And he said, go to a classical school and do it properly. And then I went there and met Jean Batine, who is the leader of the Percussion de Strasbourg, if you heard of them. It's an avant-garde percussion ensemble. Mm-hmm. And he taught me to play the vibes, the snare, the timps, everything. A lot.
So you have the whole array on stage when you play?
Yes, we have vibraphone, marimbaphone, drums, congas, gongs. We have a set of tune gongs.
Would stand to
which you can hear on the second track in Time is the Key on side one.
Sure.
We'll get to that, definitely.
These must be them.
Do you... yes.
Hold them up. Yeah,
wrong notes.
Yes.
Okay.
Some of my artwork. Hold it up to the microphone, people can see.
Yes, it says WPRB all over it. How terrible. I've heard that percussionists choreograph their movements on stage, at least classical. Do you do that?
Can you repeat that, please?
Okay, well, I know the percussionist for the Philadelphia Symphony Orchestra, and he says that he has, of course, a whole array of instruments on stage, and he has to actually time and choreograph as far as his footwork is concerned, getting from one instrument to the other. When he's playing, so that he can...
When he's playing what piece?
Well, when he's playing any major symphonic work, which involves a lot of percussion instruments.
Yeah, it is very precise, yes.
And you have to go through training as far as that is concerned?
Sure.
Sure, it takes many years to get to a point where you can be really doing a good job in a symphonic orchestra. Yeah.
Would you equate your position, your playing in Pierre Morland's Gong, complexity-wise, to someone in a symphony orchestra, as the battery player in a symphony orchestra?
It's not the same thing. No, I wouldn't. Difficult comparison that.
Well, in terms of the complexity, of course, the technique I would imagine is a lot different.
The technique is quite similar actually.
Oh, really?
That's a good point. Yeah, the technique. François Cos, the other percussion player, has been trained the same way, mm-hmm. and we both use basically a classical technique, especially on drums. French classical technique, which has been influenced by the Napoleon drum school, you know.
Uh-huh.
I learned to play all these things to start with on the snare. She's extremely good, I believe, for the skill.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good.
Did your brother Benoit follow in your footsteps, or on his own, or how?
He's more into just playing vibraphone. He wants to be a specialized just in one thing rather than played the whole family of percussion instruments.
Mm-hmm.
May I ask what he's up to now?
Not much, I'm afraid.
Mm.
He's looking.
Well, that's very hard to believe. He seemed to be putting in a lot of the solo vibraphone parts in at least the Espresso 2 album.
Oh, right, yes. He had a main part in that.
Mm-hmm.
But he left the band a year ago because basically he wanted to do his own thing rather than being a little bit in my shadow, like being the youngest brother. He didn't like that very much, I can understand that very much.
Mm. What is your favorite Gong album? Do you have a favorite?
I think it's the live one at the moment.
The new one?
That's good.
That you're satisfied.
And the new studio album, like. One which isn't released yet, but I mean, of the released one, I think it's the live one. I really like it.
Great. Why don't you tell us as much as you are allowed to say at the moment about the new album?
I'm allowed to say anything.
Then say it, please.
It's been recorded in London in March, and I engineered it myself.
Uh-huh.
Because we bought an 8-track studio, because I've decided to do that, because I'm really into these things. And it's the same lineup, basically, with no guests, just basically...
Tight band. Uh-huh.
Yes, right.
Do you expect that band lineup will continue pretty far into the future?
Yes, I do. Yes.
That's good to hear that Pierre Morland's Gong is finally going to have some sort of stable...
It is very stable now. Yeah.
That's very good. You're all tight and everything.
That's right.
And
took us a few years, but no.
There's even a New Jerseyan in the band.
That's right.
Wow. Bon Lozaga.
He might be listening. Hi, Bon.
Hope he is. He's from Browns Mills, I guess.
Can he listen to it?
I believe so.
Browns Mills. I guess so. I hope so.
Maybe we should call him.
How about the audiences that you've gotten throughout the years? What kind of appeal do you think your music has?
Well, the kind of audience is... depends. It changes from one country to the other. In Germany, we have a different audience than we have compared to France, for instance.
Uh-huh.
It's a bit different.
In what way?
Well, in France, to start with, they didn't really agree on the change, like to go from the flying teapot period, the transition and all that. The French people, to start with, were very not too keen on the idea.
Uh-huh.
The German are a bit more progressive, I suppose, in a way.
That's
although now it's changing with the time. Everything is changing. The French public is we've been recognized a bit more now, I think.
That's good. Do you consider France your home base or England? What do you consider?
Well, I live in England, actually.
You live in England?
Yeah,
where in England? Whereabouts?
In London.
You live in London. So
yeah.
Then London would be basically where you work out of? Would you consider yourself an English band at this point?
Nah, not really, no. There aren't any English musicians in the band. No.
Where is Hansford from?
He's from Virginia, I think.
My goodness. Okay. Yeah. See, with a name like Hansford, to us Americans, it seems very British and all, and we went under the assumption that he was
British.
Was
British, no. There aren't any British musicians in the band. Wow. Only the crew, some of the crew are British, that's all.
Oh, my goodness. Well, international then, I suppose.
Yeah, right.
We have Pierre Morlin here, and he just told us what that was. Before that, what was that, Mick Taylor?
It was a piece from Mick Taylor's album here called A Minor. No, first Spanish, then A Minor, which I was playing drums and vibes on.
That's sort of an album that didn't quite get its due around here. We were talking about that during the music. You were saying how Mick Taylor is tagged as a rock and roller, although he's really not.
Yeah, some people, especially rock journalists, we're expecting a rock and roll album and a kind of a Rolling Stone rock and roll type of music, and it's obviously a nonsense because he left the Rolling Stone to do his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't quite satisfied with them.
Do you still keep in touch with him? Or?
Oh, sure, sure.
Is he going to continue recording solo LPs? Or?
I think he's planning to record an instrumental LP in around Christmas.
Mm-hmm. And will you be playing on it?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stereo 103 WPRB, back with Pierre Morlin of Pierre Morlin's Gong, who will be appearing at Alexander Hall in Princeton September 20th, and tickets are on sale, available from us, and will be available at all Ticketron locations on Tuesday. We'll have more information later on that. And Pierre, while we were listening to the two cuts that we heard before, you were talking about the name of the group, and
mm-hmm.
could you possibly repeat what you said?
Sure, sure. After the album You, Steve Hillage left the band. First David Allen left the band, yes. And then Steve left as well, and the band kept going as Gong, obviously, because DJ and I, we were still an original member of the Flying Teapot Gong, so we kept going as Gong. And then people kept coming in and out, and the band kept going as Gong. At a certain point, I felt that the situation was a bit confused. People really didn't know who was Gong or who wasn't and all that. So I've decided to call it Pierre Morlin's Gong, so people would know where they're by rather than expecting something else. Right. So, and also since David Allen... When he left, he said to me, "You keep going. I want to retire. I want to do something else." And then later on, he felt like going on the road again and formed another band called, I think, New York Gong.
New York Gong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then somebody else, some of his New York Gong musicians left him and formed another band called Mother Gong, I think. I'm not too sure who.
Mother Gong, that's the name of an album by Gilly Smith.
Gilly Smith.
Oh, is it? Oh, it's Gilly, I see.
Gilly Smith.
So right now things are much clearer than they were about 2 years ago.
And you're basically the front man, the spokesman of the group right now?
Yes, I am, yes.
Your drums are still at the back traditionally on stage when you play, or in the front?
Oh, they are. Well, they're at the front, really, with the gong rack in the back. But I'm not only playing drums. I'm only playing about.
Well, your instruments in general.
Different instruments, and everybody plays nearly everything. I mean,
mm-hmm.
the drummer plays vibes, keyboard, the guitarist plays keyboard, the bass player play keyboards, I play a bit of bass, a bit of guitar, and we all swap.
Oh,
it's
wow.
quite, we're having
that's
a lot of fun. Yes, yeah. So everybody is really out front during the show. It's like we do it, each of us do it at a certain time. We're each taking solos, we're doing duets and
mm-hmm.
different things to keep the interest up.
Sort of the impression that we got from listening to the live album was you just seemed to be having a great time when you were playing it. You weren't just doing anything by rote. It wasn't just, let's hack out the songs for the people. We're going to sort of close out here right now, and we'd like to make a little presentation before we do to Pierre and his wife who is here. WPRB t-shirts for both of you.
Thank you very much.
That's
great. I'm going to try it on right now.
Okay.
Hope they fit.
Yeah,
could I have a small, please?
Absolutely. We'll get you.
Okay. Oh, did we get you a medium? Oh, that was a mistake. Okay. That's almost an insult, isn't it? We're going to close out now with something from the last studio LP. The LP is Time is the Key. We're going to hear... Why don't you pronounce that for us?
Arnagrain. It's an Irish word.
What does it mean?
It's the pub around the corner.
I can't take
no, this. No, it means the highest of the light, actually. And I was in Ireland when I wrote the music for this album.
Mm-hmm.
And that pub was on top of a mountain. It was beautiful. You could see really far away the sea, and it was really great.
This album, Time is the Key, seems to be a very cohesive album. Did you write all the songs with that effect in mind, sort of...
Well, it was certainly very much inspired by the environment there.
You wrote it all in Ireland?
Yeah, all of it. I wrote side one on vibes and marimba and side two on drums, basically. That's how it happened.
Uh-huh.
That's why there is a quite obvious difference of style.
Right. Okay, well, Pierre, thanks very much for coming down, and we look very much forward to seeing Pierre Moreland's gong at Alexander Hall. Glad you're looking forward to it. Good luck with the band, good luck on your tour, and the
thank you very much.
Forthcoming LP, and we hope that your live album does better in sales than the last few albums have in this country, and we hope that gong finally breaks it here. And we've been trying our best to see that happen
in our own little
here at WPRB in our own little way. Thanks again, Pierre Moreland of Pierre Moreland's Gong, something from Time is the Key, right here on Stereo 103 WPRB.